हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्त वृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So continuing on page 68. It is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duties prescribed according to one's nature are never affected by sinful reactions. One should act to satisfy the Supreme Lord. For example, Arjuna was a Kshatriya. He was hesitating to fight the other party. But if such fighting is performed for the sake of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there need be no need of degradation. If a Kshatriya engaged in his own occupation kills an enemy, there is no sin occurred. In the third chapter, these matters have been clearly and elaborately explained. Every man should work for the purpose of Yajna, or for Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anything done for personal sense gratification is a cause of bondage. The conclusion is that everyone should be engaged according to the particular mode of nature he has acquired, and he should decide to work only to serve the supreme cause of the Supreme Lord. So here again, it's the particular mode of nature he's acquired, so that won't change, right? And the best part is there's no need for it to change. Right? We have an idea it should change because the social consideration, right? We'll consider that, socially we don't like the particular nature that we've acquired, but it doesn't matter. Right? It's whatever you can do connected to the Lord that's important. Right? Because if it's done for yourself, no matter how elevated or not it is, it's still sense gratification, it still binds one. Right? So the sinful reaction. But if one is doing it to please Krishna, then there's no reaction. Right? So here also sinful can have that double meaning. One is that an action done that's not in connection with Shastra, and it's not your occupation, then that will be sinful. Right? But also if we're saying that if it's done according to one's occupation, right? So technically, according to the Veda, it wouldn't be sinful, but it's not being done for the Lord. That from the transcendental perspective, it's still sin. Right? Because sin means doing something you shouldn't do. Right? So for the soul to not serve God, that's sin, because that's not what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be engaged in the Lord's service.
So that's why it says the pious man surrenders.
Yeah, pious man surrenders. So the point is the ultimate piety is devotional piety, right? Yes.
So we should consider that whenever we are inattentive or not really meditating, contemplating things for the Lord, that we are sinful?
One could do that, and it would definitely fit the particular cultural heritage. But the point is that it would be more is that it's just not pleasing to the Lord. So in other words, it's what pleases the Lord, what doesn't, rather than piety and sin. You know what I'm saying? Because piety and sin, we generally look at it, from piety means we gain, from sin we lose. So in other words, Krishna is saying there's no loss if one performs one's own duty, right? But now even you perform your own duty, so technically there's no sin. So there's no specific loss as such. Still, if it's not Krishna conscious, then there's the loss of the opportunity to serve the Lord. And so gradually consciousness will change, and you're pious now, you'll become impious. And if you're impious, you know, it just goes around and around. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of what words to use that bring out the proper connotation. Right? So we use piety and impiety. You know, they're very valid and useful words. But in this case, the point is the results to please Krishna or not, rather than what result we'll be getting from it. Right? Because if you please Krishna, we'll be pleased. So that means it's the best result. One doesn't have to be in anxiety. But he's pointing out here is there'll be no... Work according to one nature is never affected by sin. So you don't have to worry, I'm doing my work and there'll be a reaction. Right? But if one's doing someone else's work, then there'll be a reaction because one can't, one on one level, one won't be able to completely please Krishna because you're not fully absorbed. But on the other is that, you know, it's not what your mentality is supposed to do, so therefore the quality of the service won't come out right. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah, because the mentality goes with the skill, right? Because the first thing, prajumna means the mood, right? Then you apply the skill in avideya. Then you'll get the result in prayojana. Right? So if the mood's wrong, even the skills applied, it's still, it means, because when you perform an activity, you get two aspects. You get what is sensually perceivable, and you get what's emotionally perceivable, right? So if the skill is correct, you'll get the observable result, proper observable result. But if the mood's not right, you won't get the proper emotional result. Does that make sense? So if the mood's not correct in performing the activity, even though it appears that it's working nicely, it's still wrong. So that's if you perform something that's not your duty, the mood won't be right. Otherwise, why are you doing something that's not your duty? Right? Even though the skill is very good. So it'll be, I'm doing it because of my pride in the skill or because I want that result of that other work rather than my own work. So there's going to be something that's dealing with myself, some aspect of Sankarshan. But the problem is it'll be Sankarshan where we're not performing the proper duties. So even though we get the field, it's based on false ego. Right? So instead of Sankarshan being dealt with, that I'm servant of the Lord. So that establishes a prajumna in the proper mood, and therefore aniruddha, you get the proper experience. It's false ego, so therefore then the element of prajumna will be wrong, so therefore the element of aniruddha will be wrong. Though the skill, the avideya will be fine. Does that make sense? Yeah, like that. So that's the point. If we can discern these different things, then it works better. So we're trying to get is that's why I went through is you have the knowledge of the field, you have the proper mood, you have a proper understanding of the goal, the proper understanding of what to do, and then that's done with that in that all that knowledge together, without the desire for the result for yourself. So you put that all together, and that is naishkarmya. Right? Now that mood being to please Krishna, then that's devotional service. But that's the form. So the Vedic form, that's the proper Vedic form. Even if it's not being done for Krishna, that's still the proper form. You'll get the best possible result. So the idea is that we're doing something to please Krishna, so you don't want to get the best possible result. Right? So you can get the best possible result from the Vedic system. In the Vedic system, as defined, the naishkarmya, that gives the best result. Right? So that way, then, the devotee is doing the best thing for Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? But it's that.
And it mentioned that if you perform all prescribed duties, there is no sin.
Yes.
But there is still reaction.
There's still reaction. You always get reaction.
Just not sinful.
There's not sinful reaction. It's just like there's no sinful reaction, but it doesn't mean that it won't create a future situation. Right? Reaction is there. And along with whatever's the good means, just like, let's say, we've done our duty, and so then we'll get a nice facility. But the point is we still have to be there to be in that facility. So if you want to wait around, great. But if you want to go back to Godhead, then why bother? You know what I'm saying? So, but we do our duty just to please Krishna. We're not doing it because it will give us a good result, or it will give us a result we're not interested in. We're doing it because that's what makes Krishna happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could cook something for somebody that you yourself aren't specifically interested in, right? But they like it a lot, so you're happy to cook it and happy to, and like that. So that's the idea. So it dealing with the material condition means our acquired nature. Because here Prabhupada uses this. According to the particular mode of nature he has acquired, rather than saying it's the conditioned, because conditioned would also be like the term material. It means that we are under its control. We are an illusion. But here is that one is working with the modes according to what one has particularly acquired, but one is not bound by it. Right? It's a difference. We have these two things, but we always put it together, because if we think I am the body or I am the mind, you know, then the difficulty means is that then I'm going to be the actions and the results. So we have problems separating them. You know what I'm saying? So good action, you know, if I'm action, then that means good action means I'm good, bad action means I'm bad. Right? And so in this way then, like we're having the difficulty this morning, that means then the shudra, because of his action, is automatically bad. You know, just by nature is bad. While the Brahmin by nature is good. Right? But it's not. It's whether the activities are connected to the Lord or not. Because we can say, yes, the person who happens to be in the brahminical position by acquired nature, that's a better acquired nature than a shudra acquired nature. But the point is we're in the material world. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like the guy's in prison, right? But he's in a white collar prison. You know what I'm saying? It's not a high security. You know, everybody else in there is also businessmen like him, you know, who cheated on their taxes or something like that. You know, so they're all, you know, basically gentlemen like that, but he's in prison, you know. And then you have the man who's in the, you know, high security prison because, you know, he's a, you know, serial killer or something like that, right? So then one could say, yes, this prisoner is better than that prisoner. But that's what we're discussing. Yes, the Brahmin is better than Shudra. But the point is it's just one's bound with the gold chain to the wall, and the other one's bound with the iron chain to the wall. You know what I'm saying? So that's it. It means, like, you have the guys in prison. They got a chain and a ball, right? Now, if it's an iron ball, nobody even bothers with the ball. But if it was a solid gold ball, right, they'd probably be sitting down and polishing it. You know? You know? And that he's picking it up, you know, how's your hang on? Yours seems a little heavier than mine, you know, like that, you know. You know what I'm saying? So the difficulty comes then is that we're judging what's better or worse on the principle of what's already worse. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty. Rather than what is the actual standard, which is God consciousness. So that's what the Kumaras are talking about, is no other subject matter should be as important as God consciousness. Yes.
As I heard one time, somebody said, one devotee said that the living entities, they are endeavor department, and then
Endeavor department.
And Krishna, he is results department.
Yeah, you could say.
So,
but he's also fields department. Fields department.
Whenever one tries to apply this, then it seems like it has to be quite mechanical. It's like I am Krishna's servant, and then I am.
No, you're not saying it right.
Oh, I would like to aspire one day.
No. You have to use that. I am Krishna's servant.
So then I'm Krishna's service, I'm doing this service for him, and then the results are for him also. Now let's go, excuse me, do you like a book like that, you know?
Yeah, but what about your first day on the job? Right, you have a new job, never done it before.
Yeah.
So wouldn't you consider that a bit artificial?
Yeah.
You know, going to high school, that would be artificial.
Yeah.
It is artificial. But you know what I'm saying is that, you know what I'm saying? So it's new. Nobody worries about it.
Okay.
You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
First, that, you know, driving a car, that's artificial, right? Because when you get in it, it's always stupid. Riding a bicycle the first time, that's also really artificial. So, you know, you have 2 feet, you walk. You know, why you should be rolling, right? If we were meant to roll, the bottom of our feet would be round, right? You know, does that make sense? You know, so the difficulty is that we're only saying that because it's a matter of we think we shouldn't be doing it. Mm. What are you saying? Artificial means it's not your nature. But to say devotional service is not our nature, that's artificial. That's the only real thing, is that the soul's nature is to serve the Supreme Lord. That's the only thing that's real. Everything else is, you know, our particular acquired facilities in illusion.
And then at the end of the endeavor, then when the mind goes, well, you know, that was useless, and you know, like materially it didn't go well, then
yeah,
one can say, well, that's Krishna's result.
Yeah, but he gives the results, but that doesn't mean he has to give the result if you don't do the work right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because he makes the laws for what is proper endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who, with what, at what time is doing what endeavor, and therefore give what result. You know what I'm saying? So technically, Krishna's all departments. We're only an assistant in the endeavor department.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
So we do our part right, then we'll take part in that particular result. We don't do it right, we won't get the proper result.
So if you follow that, if you follow,
I mean, that's talking about you're talking about the external. But as far as devotional, you're trying to do it to please Krishna. You'll get result for that. But now if it's you're working at the best of your ability, even though it's not very good, still you'll get full results. But if you could do better and you're not, then you won't get full results. You get how much is your endeavor. That's why it's full in body, mind, and words. It's that full endeavor, right? Then that gives the full results. Right? I think that's what Krishna uses that word, you know, because his absorption is constantly, I mean, I forget what the word he uses. It means all-consuming. It's just completely absorbed. That's why he gets the result. He's completely absorbed. So if you do someone else's occupation, you're not fully absorbed, because how can you be fully absorbed in Krishna if you're doing someone else's occupation? Why would you be doing someone else's occupation? There must be a reason for it.
If
it's emergency, that's another thing. But the point is then it is your duty. But as soon as the emergency is over, it's not. So then if one's doing it, why would you be doing it unless you have a particular motive?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you have that motive, then how is it for Krishna? It's not complete. It's not full. Does that make sense? So it's not that, yes, I can do the skill. Because it's not actually about skill. That's the final manifestation of it, is the external. But it's all about the mentality that's there. And that's all about the consciousness. So what we're trying to do is get to the consciousness by going, you know, backwards. It's supposed to be by consciousness, therefore there's the, you know, how one thinks and all that and value, and therefore the activity. So the consciousness is Krishna conscious. You think about Krishna using intelligence, therefore the senses are engaged in the Lord's service. But because that's not happening, then we're engaging the body, the idea that the mind will kind of notice that, you know, and then like that, and then notice Krishna, and so then it gets back to there. So it only seems artificial because you're having to run this process backwards. But the first recommendation is to surrender to Krishna right now, this moment. And then it's done. You don't have to worry about any artificial, you know, any artificial flavorings. But if you can't do that, then you use this mechanical system.
Is it easier for
you? You know what I'm saying? So if you can just get on the bike, ride it, great. If not, you put those little wheels on it.
Is it easier for the soul in a female body to do?
Is it easier for the soul that's in a female body
to do the mood part?
To do the mood part.
Yeah. That's not how I meant it. I'm going to be in trouble after, you know. No, I mean...
Do the mood part.
Because you said about, he said about applying skill without mood.
So does that mean that they got like a different like a remote or something that you didn't get, so then they have the mood settings on there or something?
See, that's how mechanical it is for me. It's like...
So I still the voice is missing.
Applying skill without mood, get sensory perceivable result, no emotionally perceivable result.
Means there's always going to be, whether you get it from there, the person does it with no emotion, then it generates in the other person, you know, the emotion of being subjected to something that lacks emotion. Does that make sense? So emotion's already there, but you're not getting the emotional result you wanted. Does that make sense? So that's why if somebody just perfectly does the skill only, it doesn't actually satisfy anybody. You know, unless it's in a position where you don't have to look at it, and as long as they get it done, they're great. You know what I'm saying? But anybody that's in that, subjected to that environment, will not be satisfied. You know?
But the female is like more in touch with that.
They're in touch with that, but the point is the what we were discussing yesterday is the because they're in touch with that because of that need to be involved with it, which is the natural position. You know, the natural feminine nature. So that means the soul being feminine, they have to be in touch with, you know, how you say, relationship, emotion, and like that. So, but the difficulty is where we say it's a weakness on the material platform, not on the spiritual platform, but on the material platform, because then emotion's emotion, right? Now it can be expressed spiritually or materially. That's where the distinction doesn't come in. That will be said, that's the point where you say it's less intelligent. You know what I'm saying? Because if you can't get it on the spiritual platform, then it'll be taken on the material. Does that make sense? Well, the man, you know, training should be able to discriminate. So if it's not there on the spiritual, then he'll just sit there in the neutral state. Right? Does that make sense? So that means then one is able to distinguish and not get involved materially. Does that make sense? But that option's not there for the feminine nature. Because it must be absorbed in... Because that's the, when we say prayojana, that means the result, the emotion. So that's the platform. You know what I'm saying?
So the man can move from like sense enjoyer to a personalist, to devotee?
Yes.
Like, that's what I'm just trying to... refresh what you're saying.
Yeah, means you could say. But I'm just saying is that, but if one's properly situated, one would see everything in connection to the Lord. We're just talking about the inherent fundamentals that we're working with. We're not specifically applying it to one position or another, right? It means, in other words, the feminine nature is tuned into the result and that experience of the result. Right? Does that make sense? So.
She's gain.
Huh?
She is gain. Gain?
Yeah.
Gain.
Yeah, she's gain and he's supposed to be safety. But
supposed to be.
You know what I'm saying? It means this is a whole other topic. So that's why to see it in relationship here is that if you see that what you're doing is in connection with Krishna, then it works perfectly. But if it's not in connection with Krishna, there'll still be the need to go after that. So that's why if the environment is made that you're in your own situation, where whatever you perform in that field is within your occupation, then it doesn't matter. Then it becomes easier. You know what I'm saying? If all experiences are going to be spiritual, no matter which one you choose and the need for variety, then it'll always work out fine. You know what I'm saying? Therefore, the element of dependency. You know what I'm saying? So it's an advantage if the environment is correct. But if the environment's not correct, it's not an advantage. Does that make sense?
I think, more specifically, what I'm trying to ask is like how there are some people in the
process. Is it be like you change how you dress? Will that affect your? Will you be more qualified in devotional service or something?
It's close, but like the Brahmachari Ashram, they go through Brahmachari Ashram and then they're able to get the devotional, essential, the emotional and the devotional results of their activities because they're doing it properly. Whereas some, because they're used to doing things just to get the essential result without the emotional result, then they go through then the Grihastha Ashram and they're reminded by their partner.
Reminded meaning a euphemism there.
Yeah.
I think it's called being beaten with shoes.
Yeah.
And remember.
Encouraged.
They're more pointy. The stiletto has got a point there. Not like a good old boot or something.
Yeah.
Unless you're a goth, then it's a big boot.
Yeah.
And you got the higher leverage because it goes up to here, so you can grab it at the top. You can really, yeah.
Shiny buckles as well.
Shiny buckles, steel toe, hobnails.
So the partner then encourages the person to deal with them not as stuff, but as a person. So then.
Yeah, but how well has it worked out for the 3 billion men on the planet?
Well, because that's back to your earlier point about if you don't apply the science and you don't get.
Yeah, so it's not about the situation, it's about the understanding. So if you didn't get the proper understanding as a brahmachari, you won't be able to use it as a grihastha. You know what I'm saying? The difference between the upakurvan and the naistika is the naistika has realized, so he doesn't require, but he understands the science. Right? While the upakurvan is the one who understands the science, but he doesn't have the realization, you know, about not requiring it, so he gets married. But in both cases, that's why Prabhupada says first class brahmachari makes the first class grihastha. Right, so first class doesn't mean he doesn't get married. First class means it's the level of training and understanding.
So that the essential emotional and devotional results, they're fully available in all ashram then?
Yeah. Because otherwise, then why would they be for humans? It's just how much intensity of it you require. You know what I'm saying? The brahmachari, it goes like this, you know, like that. The grihastha is like this. Like that? You understand? It's an electrical appliance, if you have a wave that goes like this, it doesn't work right.
Yeah.
Only when it goes like this, then it works.
Yeah.
Right?
So
this idea that we're only going to get, you know, what's above the line is a urban myth. Does that make sense?
Gotta take it off with this movie.
No, have to be able to take both sides of the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Okay. You know what I'm saying? It's a different topic, so that means. to fit it into this, then the idea is if you have a particular acquired nature, you are engaged according to it. So if your acquired nature is that of being a grihastha, then one should act according to that. And if it's not, then one shouldn't. You know, why be a grihastha if you don't need to be? But if you need to be, why wouldn't you be a grihastha? Does that make sense? You know, that's the point. So you situate yourself according to what's the need. But because you're acting to satisfy the Lord, you have a skill. Right? It says he was hesitating to fight for the other party. Fighting is a skill. How did he learn that? He was trained. So in other words, one has training and skills. But along with the skill comes the proper mentality, the proper understanding, then that application and the proper Krishna consciousness. All that combined, then you get something very nice. Right? Otherwise, then the difficulty comes is that it's only a skill, or it's only a feeling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you have, you know, both are a problem. You know, the guy who's, you know, very expert in his skill and everything like that, but, you know, doesn't really relate to the emotional platform. But at least all the facilities are there. It's comfortable, but dry. Right? And the other guy, it's emotional, so it's not comfortable, and there's no facility. You know what I'm saying? You know, the other day, the question was, but what about lazy? You know, it's like that. So it means that there'll be no facility. So not only is it emotionally uncomfortable, that it's also physically uncomfortable. So therefore, it's worse situation. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why it's not an advantage. Right? So one's always active. But the point is one can choose how much activity by how much room he wants to deal with. So if one doesn't see the advantage of dealing with so much material facility, that's fine. Then don't. But also don't desire it. Don't need it. You know what I'm saying? You don't need it. So then that's intelligent. You know? That you're dealing with a smaller amount of material energy. But that small amount you're dealing with fully. You're interacting fully. Does that make sense? You know, if you're too lazy to clean your big house, get a smaller one. You know, it's like, you know, you can only, you know, clean 3 rooms out of the 8 rooms. So get a 3-room house. You know, if you're going to clean one, get a studio. You know, if you can't do that, you've been with your mother. Right? No?
Get a maid.
Get a maid, yeah, get a maid, yeah.
It's synonymous.
Yeah, it's synonymous, but you might find out the particular, how you say, I don't know what would be the proper mathematical term, but the, you know, how you say, the volume with, how you say, volume with movement. You know, it's one of these mathematical things. You know, like that of a rolling pin.
Kinetic energy.
Huh?
I think it's
kinetic energetic element of a rolling pin.
Yeah. The Borstein surface area.
Yeah, like that. And if she's Italian, she's got one of those 3-foot ones, rolling raviolis. Yeah. So that was really dangerous. Okay. 1848. Every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. Right, because one other one say, no, but I do the other one so nicely and this one I don't do so well. But still, every endeavor is covered by fault. Because the other one, it only appears that it's perfect. It means the skill is perfect, but it doesn't mean that there's not something in the equation that is imperfect. Because every endeavor is covered by smoke. Krishna doesn't say, endeavor is covered by smoke. He says, every endeavor. Because it's never perfect. That's why the Shastras will define what's ideal. And then you, knowing that, you work towards that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Explain it, but somehow I can't remember. So how has been integers and shankaras, all these mixes of matrix, and then it seems like everything is wrong, more. So how should we discern?
Means how to discern? It's just like, can you tell the difference between, you know, one prison and the other, or?
No, in according to what we are discussing, like every endeavor.
Is yeah, yeah. Means every endeavor is covered by fault, but it just might, there might be more fault included in these endeavors. So that's the idea of training, is that then we will be able to perform the activity with less fault. But our only purpose of trying to perform something with less fault is because the results for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? If there's a fault, it means then there's something that's not as ideal for Krishna. So we're trying to remove all those faults so Krishna gets the best result. Right? But the main best result is Krishna consciousness. That's what Krishna is interested in. And being Krishna conscious, you want to get the result for Krishna. Therefore, your endeavor to give him a perfect result is what's important to him. It's not the perfect result that's important to him. It's that you've endeavored to get it. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, it doesn't matter what one's position is. One's endeavoring for the perfect result. Then that pleases Krishna. So even if, you know, the from birth that there is, you know, certain conditionings that things may not be done so well or may be difficult, still the endeavor to try to do that is nice. You know what I'm saying? You know, Krishna is, you know, very small, but he's trying to carry Nanda Baba's shoes. Right? He's not doing it perfectly, you say. The servant would do it much better. Right? But Krishna carrying gives much more pleasure than the perfect carrying of it by the servant. Right? Because the mood, that affection. Does that make sense? So if that mood is there, then that works. It doesn't mean that the skill is not important, but one is endeavoring to make that skill proper. Whether one is perfected or not, that's another thing. But because one is practicing it, then one perfects generally, you know, as it develops, then one should be developed, the Krishna consciousness should be developing. In conditioned life, all work is contaminated by the material modes of nature. Even if one is a Brahmin, he has to perform sacrifices in which animal killing is necessary. Similarly, a Kshatriya, however pious he may be, has to fight enemies. He cannot avoid it. Similarly, a merchant, however pious he may be, must sometimes hide his profit to stay in business. Or he may sometimes have to do business on the black market. These things are necessary. One cannot avoid them. Similarly, even though a man is a Shudra serving a bad master, he has to carry out the order of the master, even though it should not be done. Despite these flaws, one should continue to carry out his prescribed duties, for they are born out of his own nature. Right? So here it's even saying, not even just your skill in applying it has a fault, the work itself has a fault. Like that. So that's then in that we can point out, oh no, this has a fault, so we shouldn't. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But according to this, everything has a fault. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, if you go by the perfect, there'd be nothing to do, right? You know, because you're trying to put on some clothes. So this is good for this, but then it has a problem over here, and that's good, does that well, but then it hasn't. You know what I'm saying? So there's always a fault, whatever one does. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense, you know. So there'll always be that element. So one shouldn't worry about that aspect either. So how well one, the activity itself, if that's prescribed, that's what's nature, and then how well one does it, like that. So one should just try to do, understand it and do one's best. So he carries out his prescribed duties. One should not give up his natural occupation because there are some disturbing elements. Rather, one should be determined to serve the Supreme Lord by his occupational duty in Krishna consciousness. That is the perfectional point. Right? He's determined to please the Lord. When a particular type of occupation is performed for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, all the defects in that particular occupation are purified. When the results of work are purified, then when connected with devotional service, one becomes perfect in seeing the self within, and that is self-realization. Because then you become perfect in seeing oneself as servant of Krishna. So, by performing the work for Krishna, that's what will purify it. Otherwise, those flaws are inherent. One can't get around it. To find that perfect situation where there's no flaws, it doesn't exist. You're in the material world, so it's not possible. You know, like you have to cook, but it's hot. So in the winter, that's great, but in the summer, it's not. You know, so there's always going to be some flaw. You know, taking your cold shower in the middle of summer, that'd be great. You know, but in the winter, it's not. You know, so therefore, you know, hot and cold water, right?
Not always.
No, but here we always have hot and cold water. You live in the Pukka buildings, right? The brick buildings.
Yeah, that's no hot water there.
No, there's always hot and cold water.
Not in Shruti Bhava.
Huh?
Not in Shruti Bhava.
No, all of them, every last one of them. We're the only ones that don't have hot and cold water. Because the hand pump is always the same temperature. But in the middle of summer, you'll see the water's hot. In the middle of winter, okay. It's freezing cold. So you always get hot and cold running water. Like that. Well, our water is always 23 degrees. Doesn't matter summer or winter. So we miss out on all these, you know, modern luxuries. See? So there's always a fault.
Yeah.
Okay. No? That's the way it is. One who is self-controlled and unattached, and who disregards all material enjoyments, can obtain, by practice of renunciation, the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction. Right, so here's this material enjoyment, disregards all material enjoyments. That doesn't mean he disregards activities that generate material enjoyments. Those material enjoyments are for Krishna.
Mm.
Right? We'll take it as, so nothing that gives any kind of enjoyment. Right? By practice of renunciation, means you give it up. No, you give up the result, not the endeavor. Renouncing the endeavor is not technically renunciation. It's renouncing the result. Right? If it's your occupation, because this has to be based on everything before us saying that you're going to perform your occupation according to the modes acquired. Does that make sense? So the renunciation doesn't mean giving up the activity. It means whatever is the activity for your nature that you're performing. Right? But the result of it, that's what you're giving up. Right? Right? So the brahmachari may renounce family life because that's his occupation. But the grihastha doesn't renounce family life. Right? So the point is, he disregards our material enjoyments. That means all the facilities of the family life is there, but he's seeing them connecting to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Then one comes to the highest perfect stage of freedom from all reaction. Right? Because the point is performing an activity without desiring the results, that's what frees you from reaction. Not doing the activity. Because in not doing the activity, you're doing an activity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So there's no such thing as doing nothing. You know, it may be a great ideal, but it doesn't exist in reality. Right?
Could you also say that it's significant that it's freedom from reaction, not absence of reaction?
Yeah, freedom. Yeah.
So things are still going on, but
but you're not involved.
Mm.
Real renunciation means that one should always think himself part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and therefore think he has no right to enjoy the results of his work. Because if you're part and parcel of the Lord, then it's all about the Lord. You're just part of the Lord, so it's not about you, it's about the Lord. Since he is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, the results of his work must be enjoyed by the Supreme Lord. This is actually Krishna consciousness. Right? Again, we see it comes back. Just that simple. Right? Just, we're part and parcel of the Lord. Therefore, whatever is there is for his pleasure. The person acting in Krishna consciousness is a real sannyasi, one in the renounced order of life. So that's actual renunciation, not that you didn't do something that would generate a result. No, that the result that what you're the result generated is for the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? That doesn't mean again that we twist it and say, did we miss out on a paragraph? Yes, and that means that it's his duty not to be involved. So that's his endeavor, is to not be involved. Right? Well, the grihastha, he's supposed to be involved, so he has to make the endeavor to be properly involved. And in either case, the result for being involved or not involved is for the Lord. Because if we just renounce him because, oh, then less trouble for me and all that, then that's not proper. No, it's renounced because that's what you're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? It's not that enjoyment is for the Lord and renunciation is for me. No, it's enjoyment and renunciation for Krishna. Okay. Does that make sense? Otherwise, the tendency is, okay, beauty, influence, wealth, fame. Those, yes, that we shouldn't be involved in. But knowledge and renunciation, those are fully for us. Mm. You know what I'm saying? We just take, oh, they're automatically, that's good. No, but even that, knowledge is for Krishna, renunciation is for Krishna. Mm. Otherwise, then we renounce something, then it's not necessarily that Krishna gets a good result from it. You know what I'm saying? It has to be that that's the approved way of dealing. So then renunciation, then Krishna is getting something. Something's being offered. Does that make sense? Yeah. By such a mentality, one is satisfied because he is actually acting for the Supreme. Thus, he is not attached to anything material. Right? He's satisfied because of the spiritual platform. He becomes accustomed to not taking pleasure in anything beyond the transcendental happiness derived from the service of the Lord. He becomes accustomed. Means, in other words, that's the constitutional position. We become conditioned to try to be happy enjoying things separately from the Lord. The Prabhupada is saying is that by practice, then you become accustomed to acting in your natural position. Yeah. A sannyasi is supposed to be free from the reactions of his past activities. But a person who is in Krishna consciousness automatically attains this perfection without even accepting the so-called order of renunciation. This state of mind is called yogyarudha, or the perfectional stage yogarudha. Yeah, what was the other one? Yoga? That's the practice, but this is now the perfectional stage. Perfectional stage of yoga. As confirmed in the third chapter, Yastvatma ratir eva syat. One who is satisfied in himself has no fear of any kind of reaction from his activity. Because he's satisfied himself, so it doesn't matter what the results are, because the results are for Krishna. Okay, so if they're nice, great, and if it's not nice, then... So here's the so-called order of renunciation, because it's the form for the mentality. It's the full form for the mentality of renunciation. But it's not necessary. It's not that it itself is renunciation, because the person is renounced and is not involved in so many things. But what is the result of that renunciation? Who is it for? If it's for themselves, it's not actually renunciation. You know, you're renouncing for yourself, so it's not actually renunciation. Only when you renounce for Krishna, then it's renunciation. Right? So that means then engaging one's activities in the Lord's service, not giving up activities. Does that make sense? So when we say not giving up activities means according to one's occupation. Right? If it's the occupation to give up, then you don't not give up. Right? That would be giving up the giving up. Do you know what I'm saying? And if you're supposed to engage, you don't give those up, because that would be, again, renouncing one's occupation. Does that make sense?
How can we know what is pleasing Krishna?
How do we know what's pleasing Krishna? So, means, do we flip a coin? Do we get a Ouija board? Or... Yes. Ever try fortune cookies?
Magic 8 ball.
Magic 8 ball, yeah. That's many businessmen always refer to that one. Means is following the duties prescribed, and then you see the response of the devotees.
Yes.
Like that. So that combination then works. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know, then it works out pretty good. One's doing what one's not supposed to be doing, then it can be a problem.
Can we say he's a specialist who's a parampara system?
Yeah.
Any type, any association of duty?
Yeah, any. The point is you cook lunch and everybody's happy, then you know you're doing something right.
Yes.
You know, if you cook lunch and they, in trying to be pleasant, say yes, it was filling. then it wasn't ideal, but at least it wasn't so bad that they wouldn't eat it. So
yes.
At least they got full. So.
Very interesting. Thank you. It was interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. But it also indicates that it was different from what you expected, but still edible.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all still, something to glean from this.
Dal and popcorn. Dal and popcorn.
Yeah. It was filling. Unless the popcorn went in those black garbage sacks while it's still hot, then it tastes
like...
It's
the taste.
Yeah. Then that might not even be... Yeah. Yes.
That means that whatever service we are doing to Krishna, we should be satisfied with that?
It's one satisfied that this is my nature, I'm doing the best I can, in the circumstances to please Krishna. Right? So one's satisfied on that level. One is satisfied that with his position that I'm servant, not master. So whatever I get, I make the endeavor, and whatever results come, that Krishna is pleased with them, then we're happy with that.
So is it like we should not endeavor for doing some more service?
No, you can endeavor for more, because the point is you're fully engaged. So if you can do more service, you do more service. But if that's all the more you can do, then you don't do more. You know what I'm saying? Not that, well, he does more, so why shouldn't I do more? No, it's a matter of I do how much I can, but I don't do less than that. Does that make sense? Yeah. 1850. O son of Kunti, learn from me how one who has achieved this perfection can attain to the supreme perfectional stage, Brahman, the stage of highest knowledge, by acting in the way I shall now summarize. The Lord describes for Arjuna how one can achieve the highest perfectional stage simply by being engaged in his occupational duty, performing that duty for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One attains the supreme stage of Brahman simply by renouncing the result of his work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. That is the process of self-realization. The actual perfection of knowledge is in attaining pure Krishna consciousness. That is described in the following verses. So he's saying you attain perfection, or you attain Brahman, the platform of Brahman, simply by renouncing the results of your work. You're already on the Brahman platform, the liberated platform. But now, actual perfection is in pure Krishna consciousness. Right? It means this, in other words, that element of it's being done for Krishna. That makes sense. There's nothing for oneself. So the act of giving it up, the results. In other words, you can see is that you could perform an activity without desire for the result, and it's still not for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So the actual perfection is you're giving it up for Krishna. Right? Just imagine when the curtains open and the MC says, okay, let's give it up for Krishna. Problems and all these different meanings, the way words can be applied.
Alright, so an example for application of this would be like, you know, I'm going to cook and I go in and say, okay, Krishna, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm a tiny jiva servant. I'm going to try and cook something nice for you. And then, you know, like that. We should, and even if the man says it's stupid, then we should be like, yes, it's the real thing. You know?
And what is the mind's basis of saying this is stupid?
Well, because he's been my authority for a while. You know?
Well, so why is he... But why would he say it's stupid? Even though it's been an authority for a while, what would be the basis that it's stupid?
Well, because there's somebody else, there's a function in there, you know, as the false ego who is trying to keep me in this world.
Okay, well, as long as it's understood that that's the basis of them saying it's stupid. You know, and then you just tell them, try it, you'll like it. Oh. Okay. Yeah, of course you have to say that with an appropriate Yiddish accent.
Yiddish?
Yeah. Right down, like everything that you say, it all has the proper accent to go with it.
Sometimes German, sometimes Yiddish.
Yeah, Yiddish, sometimes French. You know, like that. You have all different things.
So Yiddish dear, was it Yiddish? Yiddish dear, Maharaj.
Yiddish dear. Yes, why not? Chutananda used to say that the Jews were the burnt remnants of the Yadu dynasty. Like that. Okay, so here we get. So the process is that, in other words, you're showing the technical along with the simplicity and pleasantness of Krishna consciousness, right? Because then here, he said that means that highest perfection will stay simply by being engaged in his occupational duty, performing that duty for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So. The element of the detachment, that's what gets you on, puts you on the platform of perfection. But it's doing that to please the Supreme Lord. That's what then puts you into the transcendental realm. Does that make sense? So all these different aspects are there. So the science is all covered there. So we'll think, oh, Prabhupada's just saying this over. No, but he's saying it over and over again, but he's bringing out different technical aspects within it. But he's wording it so nicely that, you know, only occasionally you get the technical. Like here he used the, you know, the yoga ruta. Right? So that's the yoga they're talking about. So it doesn't mean you have to do it through the Astanga yoga system. That's why bhakti is so much easier. You know, instead of, you know, tying yourself up like a pretzel and all that, you make a pretzel and offer it to Krishna. It's so much easier, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that, then it works so much more perfectly. Right? Okay, lesson 35. Okay. So now here's our reason. Our thesis is that by performing your duty in connection with the Lord, you can attain the Lord. Right? So now, how is this working? Only under transcendental modes can the ordinary fruit of workers, salvationists, and mystics also attain to Godhead. Right? Because before we were saying work, you know, the liberate knowledge and mystic perfection cannot attain devotional service, will not generate devotional service. So now he's saying, only under transcendental modes can the ordinary fruit of workers, salvationists, and mystics also attain to Godhead. So it's not necessarily here they're saying the ordinary fruit of workers. It's also going to be the ordinary fruit of workers, ordinary salvationists, and ordinary mystics. But that doesn't mean that there's a, you know, super wonderful fruit of workers, No, it means that fruit of workers, salvationists, mystics are ordinary. Right? Devotional service makes it special. Whatever you do, 927, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. And so now he's giving, because he's saying do everything for him, so now he's giving points where you can apply it. Mm-hmm. Right? Because everybody's going to eat. Right? So whatever you eat, offer that to Krishna. Whatever you give away, right? Because at some point, generally, unless you're a pack rat or something like that, you give something away. Right? And whatever austerities you perform. Somebody says, so there's always some kind of austerity being performed. Yes?
Maharaj, in some of the accommodation in Mayapur, this water is quite cold in the morning. So
you want to know if you can give that away. Created for some hot water. You can also eat it. It's also and if you bathe in it, that's austere. So you get the benefit of all of it.
If you say, Krishna, this water is brutal, I'm doing it for you, well, is there a chance that you don't become hard-hearted?
Yeah, as long as you...
Keep it up.
Yeah.
So you can do like austerity, but you're like, if you can somehow or other...
I think the building you're in, you don't have any other option. You say you can do austerity.
No, I mean, like while you do, like during the austerity, before, because you're on bhakti, before performing the austerity, you say, Krishna, this is like this,
anything that you remember Krishna and connect it properly to Krishna,
yeah,
it'll always be effective. And so by doing that with time, that will come naturally, right? And then your mind will quit telling you that it's stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Like, this water is so cold, it helps me remember Krishna, and therefore I like the...
But it's just that the cold water is better for the health in the morning. You know, during the day, then you might use warm water or something like that, in a scrub or things like that, but... The cold water, it makes the skin work, it gets rid of rashes, it improves the intelligence, like that. Then the thing, there's one that it was in the Pancharatra Pradeep, and then I told Krishna Chaitanya, nah, devotees aren't going to worry about that. You know, that was back in 1980, so it was quite an illusion. But taking a cold bath with cold water in the morning makes you more attractive to the opposite sex. Like that. So that one I removed from the thing, but actually I can see now I shouldn't have removed it. Probably more people would be taking cold baths.
I've seen it actually, it's in some Pradipa or something like that about snan.
Yes. So that one thing is missing. It improves the intelligence, it does all kinds of things, a whole list of things. Yeah, it does all that. Because that's just how the body reacts. So we'll say, oh no, it's not good to get cold, get sick. It doesn't mean that you take it. But the point of the cold shower is that that's what's required for rinsing off. You know, if you're going to sit there and do a whole scrub and this and that, you're supposed to use warm water. Like that. pure setting. But the final bath is always in cold water. Mm-hmm. You know, I think even the modern people tell you to do that. You know, but that's what the Vedic thing. So generally, the morning bath is not where you have your whole scrub in that. You do that at another time of the day. Because the morning, you're just getting up, getting ready, and involving yourself in spiritual activity. So that's always a quick bath.
Yeah.
It's so quick, they turn it on, and the water comes out of the tap, and before it gets to them, they're already moving. I'm not sure how they do it, but they're pretty good. Pretty good. Thus it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. So whatever it is that you're doing, try to arrange it so that Krishna is involved. Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul together. And Krishna recommends herein that one should work for him. Whatever you do. Everyone has to eat something to live. Therefore, he should accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Any civilized man has to perform some religious ritualistic ceremonies. Therefore, Krishna recommends do it for me. And this is called archana. Everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. And this means that all surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age. But if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours a day by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra around his beads, he is surely the greatest meditator and the greatest yogi as substantiated by the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So now here is that the occupational duty, so that it means all the duties, so all of them are connected to him. Because the principle of the duty is established in the Veda and everybody has it. Now, whether you see it in relation to him, then there's what we would call higher duties, right? And if you don't see it in relation to him, then there's all the technical things that could be there. So in other words, rituals are going to be performed. But the highest would be perform all those rituals for Krishna. So that's called deity worship. Right? Does that make sense? You know you're going to eat. It's offered to Krishna, so it's prasad. Right? The results of one's work when it's given to Krishna. Yes.
So with religious ritualistic ceremonies, self-proclaimed atheists, they would then use sports or music, concerts or something as ritualistic or religious ceremonies? Or?
Yeah. When the guy comes, when he gets out of the car, he's supposed to stand up and scream. And only when he gets back into the car after the performance and leaves, do you stop screaming.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, there's certain rituals that you follow.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know, it's like on the stage. Only certain garments are thrown on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't throw your shoes.
Boots.
Yeah, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, so like that. You know, there's rituals.
Yeah, I know.
So now the highest ritual is deity worship.
Yeah. These ones not so high.
No. I mean, generally you don't count. Even though the gap may be very big, you don't count under a rock, you know, very high.
True.
So when you find something under a rock.
Yes.
Or something like that.
True.
Point is wherever you are, you start from there. But this is where it naturally comes, because it's for Krishna, then it comes up to. So you like doing big programs, then hold a big program for Krishna.
Yeah. Well, and it's just any civilized man has to perform, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I've never heard. Because it says whatever you eat.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but I thought I you know, just general talk. I can't say specific.
Now, see, there's certain things that are there, and this is why Prabhupada again and again makes it from all the different angles. We'll say we've heard it, but the point is that there's differences in the situations, but the problem is because of not wanting, being, you know, laziness and not wanting to do, you know, make that endeavor, then anytime there's a situation that seems different from the ordinary, even though it applies just to that situation, we'll take and apply it to every other situation. Mm-hmm. You know, like you know, we're driving, you know, in our car, and, you know, we go into the stop at the petrol station, we go in and use the bathroom, so we don't take off our shoes there and to wash. So, therefore, when we get back at home, we don't have to wash either. Or if we were at the temple, then it's not, you know, it's artificial to do that, because the natural thing is just to wear your shoes everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So it applies in one place, but it doesn't apply in another. So the point is whatever is there is to be offered to Krishna, right? But there's the principle of what is in the dham, that you're getting something, is by Krishna's grace. So in that way, it's the Lord's mercy. It's like prasad. But unless one's seeing it in that attitude, one's not going to get that benefit. You know what I'm saying? So then something like the fruit may be seen in that, way, but then it comes to, oh, fruit and milk you don't have to offer. But then that means they won't think of Krishna either. So they're not getting any benefit by that. So that's the difficulty, is we always look for these loopholes, how to make it easier, how I don't have to...
Well, if you see a tree full of fruit, sometimes I just feel like, you know, that's Krishna's mercy to you know, help yourself, but not to go and buy the fruit, that's a whole different...
No, but even if you help yourself to the fruit, it's still by Krishna's grace that you have that fruit.
Yes.
So that means it's being offered.
Yes.
It's just a matter of whether you're going through the ritual of offering it. But unless you think of it in that way, but then the problem comes from that, then it'll come down to the point of, you know, oh, fruit and milk doesn't need to be offered, so when every time you see fruit and milk, you just pick it up and eat it. You know what I'm saying? That's what happens, because this was mentioned to, I think, a couple of sannyasis about something, and it was supposed to stay at that level. But then it just filters down where, you know, it just goes, and then it's just, oh, you don't have to offer all these things. I've heard, and it's not even, you've heard it that only in the dham. You've heard it where it's anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So that's what happens. What the sannyasis and they're moving around, they come across some things like this, then because they're engaged in that way, then they'll naturally think of it in that way, so there's no need of the ritualistic offering. Right? But Prabhupada's point was that this is not for general application. Right? And then, you know, it must have been mentioned to somebody this, and then that brahmachari then tells that, and then it gets around to, you know, fruit and milk nowhere on the planet, you have to bother. Now, how much do you count as milk? So milk means all dairy products, so, you know, you get yourself a chunk of cheese, you know, or, you know, cream cheese, or, you know, everything like that, you know, and like that. And does that mean anything that goes with it? You know, so now the chips go with the cheese dip, you know, so therefore then it's all, you know, it's cool, you know, so only, you know what I'm saying? Only if it's grain, you know, then you have to. You know what I'm saying? This is the problem it comes down to. So in applying this, we lose the Krishna conscious aspect, because the point here is being made over. If we notice there's one thing that's being made in every point here that Prabhupada is bringing, is how it, that in connection with Krishna. So we say is that, because this is the analysis of Gita, so it's bringing out what's the essential points of Gita. The essential point is whatever it means this, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away your austerities, perform that as an offering to me. That's the essence. I even think, isn't this one of the those 11 verses or something? No, it's not. Okay. But the principle is that everything is being done for Krishna. And if it's done for Krishna, it's perfect. If it's not done for Krishna, it's not perfect. And if it's done for Krishna, it doesn't matter what it is. All authorized things are perfect. You don't whimsically make up your own. It means it's, you follow what is your occupational duty, because then there's a proper form, there's a proper way to devotees to relate. Is that okay? Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be a typical example of how, you know, the thing goes and then we drop the Krishna. That was Narad Muni's point to Vyasadeva. that in the Mahabharata he's explained so many things. But people only see what you can get away with, not what you're supposed to do. Right? And so because of that, then they'll miss the point. You know, so he says you have to make it more obvious. So he wrote Bhagavatam. So it's all about Krishna. Yes.
So Maharaj can come to like deviation in Kali Yuga, soon become a standard, not operating.
Yeah. No, that becomes a deviation. Yeah. Because nobody even knows what the reference is or where it comes from.
You had to.
Sorry?
You had to.
Yeah. No, because that happened back in the 70s. It was an issue that came up, I think, with some of the Swamis who were across the river or something, doing something maybe on Parikram or that, and it came up about something like that. Across the Jalungi River. So the term across the river, it means, has another reference. Wow, it is. I only saw the 11th part. I didn't, the other hand was so small. Okay. So we got through two pages today.
In two classes.
Yeah, not bad. Just so I think, wow, we can finish this week, you know. Surely he jests. What is that? Oh, the rocks. I was thinking, why is it this close?
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada.